Hello, Sunday school teachers and families. Welcome back to another podcast here. And we welcome you back. Sorry for the delay in getting things this week. It's just been a little bit nuts for me, so my apologies for that. We have an awesome story this week coming from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, on Jesus calms a storm. And this is going to be just a great lesson for you guys to teach about. Just so many things and so many directions you can go, in particular with the activities and things like that. But we've been busy here at Holy Cross, as you know. We're in the middle of Lent, and it's Lent, working on the midweek services. I've also been busy too, prepping and looking ahead for the Bible class, which we've had the last couple of weeks. We still haven't had any Sunday school parents that have come to stay for Bible class yet, but it's still a Bible class that's been pretty well received for those that have come so far. I encourage you to take the opportunity to do that as well. Coming up, we got some exciting things that we're getting ready to roll out and look into in April, and I'm already beginning to look ahead for some new exciting ideas for the fall already. I get excited about stuff like this and can't wait to share them if everything goes to fruition. But that being said, I'm also reminded this week of my own failures and my need for forgiveness as well. So, yeah, it's just been a week all around. We're in the midst of spring breaks as well, so I'm not sure what the attendance exactly will be like. I know the obviously Zumwalt schools are off. Are just coming back from break by the time you hear this, and a lot of the Lutheran public schools will be going on break next week, as will some of the, I believe, Wentzville and some other districts as well. So hopefully there will be plenty of children for our Sunday school program this time around. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to dig down deep and to study your word yet again. And Lord, we thank you for who you are and how you have demonstrated that to your disciples in the calming of the storm. And we ask you would bless our time together as we learn, study, and grow in you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, let's hear from the text here from Mark chapter 4.
On that day when evening had come, he said to them,
"Let us go across to the other side."
Just going to start there a little bit, give you a little background and context, which I guess I forgot to do. This is from Mark chapter 4, and the beginning of the chapter, it says that Jesus was beginning to teach all the people right beside the sea. So kind of a fun little piece of trivia is that, you know, they didn't have sound systems or microphones back then. But what they would do to have Jesus be able to speak out to a crowd of people in that day and age is they would put out a boat off into the lake a little bit, and then all the sound would kind of naturally bounce off the lake and go up toward the people there. So that's there in verse 1. So just give you like a geographical location of where, excuse me, where Jesus is at the beginning of this. And, you know, that's where he is also, as we just heard the verse that we are at. Okay, so he's been teaching, and the teaching in chapter 4 was just focusing on parables and stuff. So Jesus talks about the parable of the sower at the beginning of the chapter, the lamp under a basket, the seed growing, and the mustard seed. So he spent a lot of time preaching and teaching. So one thing we'll see from Jesus here is that he frequently will just take breaks and take some rest. So that's what he encourages the disciples to do.
And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was.
Okay, now remember also, his disciples were experienced fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and this will become apparent a little later as well.
And other boats were with him.
I don't know what to say about that one. Presumably, I guess if you had, you know, two sets of brothers that were all fishermen, presumably they probably each had their own boat anyway. So I don't know if it was theirs or if it was others that, you know, just chose not to leave Jesus alone or what. But we'll see what happens.
And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion.
Now this The story is notated in a couple of other Gospels as well, in Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 8, and neither of them mention the fact that he's asleep on a cushion. So I think that's a nice little personal detail that, that the Gospel of Mark has, but all of them definitely talk about the fact that he was asleep. Let's see. Yeah, Matthew just says he was asleep, but in Luke it says that as they were sailing, he fell asleep. So if you've been on a boat before, you know how it kind of can have this put you to sleep kind of mode a little bit. And so, you know, if I were Jesus, a long day teaching and preaching and get into a boat and kind of chilling for a while, that might be kind of tempting for me to take a little bit of a nap as well. But seems a little unusual in the midst of the storm.
And they woke him and said to him,
"Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?"
This is really interesting, too. I mean, these are experienced fishermen, and surely they have been out fishing in a storm before. Surely they knew how to read the weather, probably, just from their observations to know when a storm would be coming or not. But yet, in this case, they seem to be really particularly rattled by all of this. Notice how they all call him teacher, and they accuse him of not caring because he's sleeping. That seems pretty selfish of him, but we'll see how Jesus handles that, too. The other Gospels kind of phrase it a little bit differently. Matthew 8:25 says, "They went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.'" Again, with that "Save us, Lord," which is the word Hosanna, which comes back again on Palm Sunday. And then in Luke 8:24 it says, "Master, Master, we are perishing." So all three Gospels have a different word there for Jesus. Teacher in the one we talk about, Master in Luke, and then I believe it's Lord in Matthew. So we will see how Jesus handles this.
"And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea,
'Peace, be still.'
And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm."
Okay, I believe this is the only one where we actually get the words of Jesus. Both Matthew and Luke just simply say that Jesus rebuked the winds and the sea, so it doesn't exactly say what he said. This is fascinating too. We'll talk about this later, the whole theology of this. You know, it talks about how God created the world simply by using his words, and shows that Jesus is definitely doing a God the Father type of thing in also having this domination over creation by words as well. And also, even just the logistics of this, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but think about, you know, if you've ever been in a bad storm, very rarely will it go from terrible, bad, life-threatening storm to complete stillness as well. Talking about the great calm that's there afterward. Sometimes it might feel like that, but even then, I mean, usually the wind is still going on and stuff like that. So quite the miracle to go from one extreme to the other when usually in our experience it's a little more gradual.
"He said to them,
'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?'"
Okay, well, I would not want to be on the other end of that comment, too. That's pretty much the same as how it reads in Matthew. And then in Luke, Jesus simply just says, "Where is your faith?" Again, that would be a tough pill to swallow if it were me. But it really is kind of a faith issue. I mean, who did they believe that Jesus was? And maybe even we look to how they addressed him. Maybe here in Mark, you know, if they address him as teacher, maybe they think that what Jesus is all about is just teaching, and maybe he doesn't have these other skills in being over creation. Or in Luke chapter 8, when they address him as master, maybe they see him as a master, but maybe not a God who can roll up his sleeves and interact with creation the way he does either. So that might be a good, I think that is a good way to extend the lesson and talk about it, is, you know, who is Jesus, focusing on the aspect of his identity, and in this case talking about as the true God and the creator God too.
"And they were filled with great fear and said to one another,
'Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'"
Okay, so this is how it concludes, which is the biggest point to take away from this, which is a point that oftentimes many lessons miss. This is the answer to the who is Jesus question. Jesus is somebody that the winds and sea obey. And there is no human in the history of the world that has been able to do that. Only God has. Now, there have been many other instances throughout the Bible that you can feel free to pull in to extend the lesson than talking about maybe how God manipulated the winds or maybe how God manipulated water a little bit. In particular, what comes to mind is the Exodus narrative too, talking about all the ways in which God uses water even the Noah story as well, how God used all of that. But definitely when Jesus does this, he's, again, showing and demonstrating to the disciples that he is in control. He's got power and dominion over everything. And that power over creation is a demonstration of his divinity, or the fact that he is the true God. So that, again, is the big passage, or the big point of this. Now, I said earlier that some people miss this, because this is one that I think gets allegorized a little bit. So one thing that you will often see is the lesson that will go something like this. The disciples were scared in the storm, and Jesus calmed the storms. So you might have some stormy times in your life where you've had some rough things happen, and Jesus is there to kind of see you through. Now, that being said, that is a true statement, but I think the support for that statement does not come from this particular lesson. The support for that comes from other parts of Scripture, but not from this. Again, the main point of this is something a little bit different and a little bit bigger than that. Now, ways to extend the lesson. This is where I think it really gets fun. One of my, I would say, top three children's talks that I've done is the Creating a Storm. And this is great for kids of all ages, and in particular with the littles. So you could just retell the story and create your own storm. So there's a sequence that we go through. We start off with rubbing your hands together, which makes a kind of noise. I'm trying to do it close to the mic here. And then it goes into snapping the fingers, which sound like little raindrops. And then you pat your legs a little bit where it sounds a little bit heavier raindrops. And you clap your hands, which sounds like little louder raindrops. And then you stomp your feet to kind of focus on the really heavy stuff. And you can have the kids make noise and do all that stuff. And then you just do them in reverse again to talk about the storm dying down. So when you're stomping, you go back to clapping. And then you go back to the padding in your lap. And then you go back to the snapping. If they can do it, you might need the adults to help for the little ones. And then you go back to the rubbing of your hands again. Now, again, that's how they do it with a typical storm. But again, the beauty of what Jesus does is that you get to go and do this storm really big and really loud when the kids are just really stomping their feet really hard, and then you can just say stop, forcefully and powerfully, and then they'll just stop instantaneously. And then you even kind of draw on the silence and the calm a little bit afterward too. It just really makes for a fun activity, to talk about that sort of stuff. Other ways to talk about it too, you could bring in science here, I think, and talk about actual storms, dangerous storms, bring in a little bit of weather and science to help explain the background to them. You could talk about, the technical aspects of, sailing and, how waves can be dangerous. When you're sailing, you don't want to get water in your boat or else your boat will sink. That sort of concept as well. Those are things that you can tie together with everything. We just watched the Disney Moana movie, and that's all about sailing and wayfaring and stuff like that too, which sort of ties in. And then we're also going to be talking about Jonah in a couple of weeks for the Failure and Forgiveness series as well, so that ties in there as well. So a lot of different ways you can go there. Other possible ways to extend the lesson I think with some of the older ones, or even with adults, or you know, in your home, what does it mean to have faith? You know, did the disciples have faith, or what does faith look like? Now, faith, thankfully, is clearly defined in Scripture. Faith is, now I can't remember the Bible verse. Faith is being certain of, or sure of what you hope for, and certain of those things for which you do not see. That's what that is. Faith is also, and I believe that's Hebrews 11. You can check there for more definition of faith and some examples of that as well. Faith, I've always probably just talked about it most frequently as being linked together with trust. Faith is trusting in something, and for us as Christians, we aren't very good at trusting others, just it's by our human nature, and so that's why God, through the Holy Spirit, works faith in us, and God, through His Holy Spirit, enables us and empowers us to be able to trust in God. The other part, too, that you could talk about with the older kids is God's power over creation. You know, how does God still have power over creation today? You could get into some sticky issues with, you know, why does God still allow natural disasters to happen? You could talk about that a little bit. The answer to that could be, you know, could that be an opportunity for God to work His word through a certain situation? And possibly, with regards to natural disasters, that is. You can talk about other aspects of creation that God's still in charge of, too, even though we don't really see that or acknowledge Him. So, lots of different directions that you can go here. Alright. Law game. This one, I think for us, in this story, we put ourselves in the law, in the place of the disciples. Okay, and then for the gospel, we identify with who Jesus is. So, law in one statement. Sometimes our faith and trust in God fails. I'll just put it bluntly. Sometimes, and we see that as examples in our life too, just like the disciples. Maybe we get distracted, maybe we lose our focus, whatever the case may be, sometimes we just don't do that anymore. And the gospel for this is Jesus cares for us and is in charge over all creation. Jesus cares for us and is in charge over all creation. Again, notice how the disciples accused Jesus of not caring, but He did. He saved them. And then, again, of course, the things we talked about earlier, too, with the fact that, you know, Jesus is indeed true God. All right? So, that being said, hopefully you have enough to go on here. You know, again, you know, these shorter lessons make for a little bit shorter podcast, but as always, if you ever have a need for more resources or anything like that, then please feel free to let me know. That being said, we'll close with a prayer, and we'll call it a wrap. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank You for Your protection and care for us. We thank You for instilling in us the gift of faith, which clings to the promises that You have given to us. Lord, forgive us for all those times where our faith has failed You and we haven't fully clung to Your promises and everything You tell us in Your Word. Be with us as we prepare to teach about who You are to all the children and also to ourselves and our own lives as well this coming weekend in Sunday school. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
When evening came one fateful day, the disciples took a ride. And Jesus said, let's use the ship and go to the other side, and go to the other side. They went and left the crowds behind with Jesus in the boat. They took our Savior as He was. There were other boats around, and there were other boats around. A violent windstorm soon came up. The waves were getting steep. There was no courage in that fearful crew, 'cause Jesus was asleep, 'cause Jesus was asleep. They woke Him up and said to Him, don't you care if we all drown? He calmed the wind and told the sea, peace. peace be still. The wind died down, the seas at rest, they calmed down for a while. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see.